Begin the current daf. Masech the Baba Basra of Kuf Chav Beis. Begin on the bottom of Kuf Chav Aleph from a Beis. Two lines up in the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues the related discussion from the previous daf regarding how was it that the Eretz Yisrael was divided, as we mentioned. Was it to those who left Egypt? Was it regarding those who entered into Eretz Yisrael? Now the Gemara asks a related question, which we had alluded to in the previous daf. Ibai alluded the following question: Eretz Yisrael l'shvatim ifluk? Was Eretz Yisrael divided amongst the tribes? In other words, that it was split into 12 equal portions, and then afterwards, each and every tribe divided amongst their own people. Again, whether it was, as the opinion we mentioned in previous daf, for the Yetzim Mitzrayim, for the generation that left Egypt, or for the generation that entered into Israel, each opinion according to, as we mentioned in previous daf, or maybe the Karfiv Gavri Iflik. It was actually divided amongst the heads of every single individual, meaning whether like Rabbi Yeshua, according to those who left Egypt, or like Rabbi Yenison, according to those who entered Eretz Yisrael, each and every person took his own equal share in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore every person was divided equally. So was it divided by the tribes? And then, although the tribes get equally, but then it would depend on the amount of people, some would get less than other tribes, because they have more people with the same amount. Or is it there was a divide amongst every single person, everyone got the same amount in Eretz Yisrael? So the continues the Gemara on the top of Kof Chav Beis and Aleph says the Gemara Toshema will prove it from a pasuk in Mamidbar. The pasuk there is talking about Alpi HaGoral to Chalik HaAretz. Based on the lottery, Eretz Yisrael was divided. Says the pasuk Bein Rav Lamat, whether there are many or whether there's a few. So you see from the pasuk that the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael, every single tribe took what was coming to him based on the lottery, whether, as the pasuk says, that they had a large amount. In other words, how are they getting a lot is because they had very few people in their tribes. Whether they're getting a little, for example, that they had a lot of people in their tribes. Now, that's because, as we're explaining, since every single tribe took an equal portion there to Israel, the small tribe the same as the large Shavid, so it comes out that there's going to be a discrepancy between the people of the small tribe who are going to take a lot than the people of the large tribe who is going to be taking less. And the reason for that, it says the Gemara, because if it would be based on every single person getting his own portion, then what's the pasuk saying, Bein Rav Lamat, whether you get a lot or a little? What I mean? Everyone takes exactly the same amount. Obviously, it's because there is a discrepancy because they would be Neschalkel Lishvatim. V'aytanya, and moreover, says the Gemara, we learn explicitly in the Braisa that the Eretz Yisrael was divided amongst the tribes. Now, because, says Rashbam, since as the Gemara will later on explain that actually one could interpret the pasuk of Bein Rav Lamat in a different way, as the Gemara will bring later on from the Braisa, that's why I had to say that we anyways explicitly learned, forget about the pasuk of Bein Rav Lamat, that it was divided amongst the tribes. How so? Because the Braisa says as follows, Asida Eretz Yisrael, in the future Eretz Yisrael b'shitischalik l'shleisha asa shvatim, will be divided amongst 13 tribes. In other words, what it means to say is 13 equal portions. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to explain what is this 13th extra portion that's going to be added on more than what was in the first time when it was split up amongst the 12 tribes. And the reason being for that is because if one would entertain to think that it would be Shevet Levi, who originally in the first division did not take any portion, and he's going to ultimately take, like all the other tribes, actually, as the Pasuk says in the future, Shar Levi Echad, that the gate of Levi will also have an equal portion. But you can't say that because Menashe and Ephraim also in the future, where in the beginning they took two, will only be taking one. As the pasuk there says, Shar Yosef Echad. So it comes out that the 12 tribes will be taking 12 portions. Who's the 13th one? That the Gemara will explain. That's referring to the Nasi, to Melech HaMashiach. But says the Braisa that in the future will be split amongst 13 portions. Because, says the Braisa, Shebet Chila, because in the beginning, when they originally came to Eretz Yisrael, Lo Neschalke El L'Shnei Maser Shvatim, was only divided amongst 12 tribes. And the reason for that is because Levi did not take a portion of Eretz Yisrael. Rather, each and every tribe took their cities to dwell in. And they gave a part of that to Shevet Levi to be what's called the Ari Miklat, the cities of refuge for those who killed by mistake, which are the Ari Halavim. But Menashe and Ephraim, they took two portions, as the pasuk says, where Yaakov tells Yosef, Ephraim and Menashe, Keruvim, Meshim, and Yehuli, although they're not one of the 12 tribes, they're both of your sons, Yosef, they will be like two of the tribes, like Reuben and Shimon. So it's split amongst 12, and the future will be 13. Moreover, says the Braisa, Lo Neschalke Ela B'Kesef. Originally, when Eretz was divided, it was divided based on monetary value. Shenem, like the pasuk says, Bein Rav Lamat, which we just said, this idea where we can see that the Pasuk Rav Lama will be interpreted in other ways. That now the original assumption of the Gemara will explain later on these words in the Braisa. The original assumption of the Gemara is that if someone got a better portion of Eretz Yisrael, so he has to give that evaluation of the higher value of its monetary value to someone that got a more inferior portion of Eretz Yisrael. And he has to give that discrepancy to that person, like the Pasuk says, Bein Rav Lamat. In other words, you have to be particular and you have to evaluate between Rav and Mat. You have to give the added value of the one that had the better portion to the one that's Lamat. Now, what does that mean, more or less? Is because the Ziburis, the more inferior lands, are called Ma'at, and the Idis, the high, although everyone's getting portions, so what do you mean that one getting more than the other one? That there's higher quality lands. The higher quality is called Rav, and that's actually what leads into the next part of the Brice, at least according to the original assumption of the Gemara, is that Yehuda, who says that a saw in Yehuda is worth five saw in the Galil, is that this is explaining this idea of the Tanakama, that the one who got his portion in Yehuda, who got a higher value, has to then give that discrepancy to the one that got his portion in the Galil. Because again, the Idis is in Yehuda versus the Galil, which that's what the Braisa continues. The Amr Yehuda, where he's not coming to argue in the Tanakama, from the fact that it doesn't say Rabbi Yehuda Omer. If he was arguing, it should say Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rather, Amr Yehuda is coming to explain the Tanakama, Sab Yehuda Shava Chamesh Son Begalil. A son Yehuda is worth five son Begalil. So although everyone's getting portions, but one is worth more than the other, and therefore the one who got the better portion has to give that discrepancy in value, in monetary value, to the others who got less than him. Now, the Tanakhama continues in his teaching regarding how Eretz Yisrael was originally divided. It also was only divided based on the lottery. Shnemlik says the Pasuk, Mamidbar Ach Begarel, Hashem says, has to be divided based on the lottery. Moreover, it was only divided based on the divination of the Ur Metumim, which was that had Hashem's name inside the Cheshen that the Kohen Gadol wore. Shnemlik says the Pasuk in Bamidbar, Al Pi HaGarel. Now the word Al-Pi, since it says the same thing Al-Piv Yetzu, which talks about that will come the word of Hashem from the Urim V'tumim, so the word Al-Pi HaGayrul alludes to the Urim V'tumim. HaKeitzat, so explains the Braisa, how does this work out? In other words, if we're using the Urim V'tumim to divine who gets what, then why are we doing a lottery? And if you're doing a lottery, so why using Urim V'tumim? Because actually they might contradict each other. So and that explains the Braisa that actually no, it was coordinated in the sense of Elazar Malubish Ur Metumim. Elazar, the Kohen Gadol, was wearing the Ur Metumim. V'Yeshua v'chol Yisrael emnim lefanav, and Yeshua and all the Jewish, who Yeshua was the leader, and all the Jewish people were standing in front of him, like the Pasuk says in Mimim Duchav Zayin, that v'lefnei Elazar Kohen Yamed, that he should stand in front of Elazar Kohen, v'shaloi b'mishpat Ur Melefnei Hashem, he should ask him regarding the judgment of the Ur in front of Hashem. Al Pivyetu, like we said, based on his mouth will come out the word of God. Now, moreover, there was this box that had all the 12 tribes written on papers, on these papers inside this box. And then there was another box which had 12 papers which had the 12 portions of Eretz Yisrael written on it. And these two boxes were Menachem Lefanov were placed in front of him. And Elazar would direct with divine inspiration. In other words, how did he do that was through the Ur Metumim, which the letters would light up on the stones of the Cheshen, which they would ask first the Ur Metumim before they would actually stick their hands in, whoever was in charge to stick their hands into the boxes, and that would calm down the Jewish people, that they would see that the lottery was actually being exactly as the prophecy came out from the Ur Metumim, so they know that that is a fair division, and therefore those who had larger tribes who would be getting less per person would not complain and say anything about it. Now, moreover, Rashbam says that they had to have two boxes, one for the tribes and one for the portions. Why? Why wasn't it enough with one of the portions? And let him just say that now I'm going to take the one that will be for the tribe of Reuven, and then they'll know because it's the same thing like the Ur Metumim said, and then he's going to pick out that portion. Because then if one would do that, then the entire division would not be purely based on the Geirel. Because part of it would be based on what he's saying, I'm picking up for this tribe, and the Pasuk says, Ach Begairel has to be only by a lottery, without any words being even necessarily said, and that's only if you pick out both the tribes and the portions. Now, Va'imir, so he would say as follows, Zvulun Ayla. In other words, he would say that now I'm going to come to pick out the paper that has the tribe of Zvulun written on it. Now, Rashbam just points out, why did the Braisa say it out of order? Is because lotteries usually are not on the order. It's based on Mikra, based on chance. So that's why he started with Zevulun. So he said, I'm going to pick out Zevulun, and Tchum Akoy Olima, when I'm going to pick out the other box, you know what's going to come out? It's going to be the portion of Akoy. And says the Braisa, that's what happened. Tarav, so the one in charge, would mix around the papers in the box very well, that they shouldn't say that, oh, it was deliberately, intentionally done like that, because he knew which paper it was. And he would mix Bukalpish Shvatim in the box of the tribes. V'alabi other Zevulun. And like he said, which one came out was Zevulun. And then Tarav Bukalpish Shvatim, and then he would mix up the box with the papers of the portions there at Zerol. V'alabi other Tchumakra. And exactly like the Kohen Gadol had said, that's exactly what happened when they actually did the Geirul, came out the boundary of Akwi. And the Mechayzu Mechavim Baruch HaKadosh Vayim. And then again he would go back and he would direct with Divine Spirit and he would say, you know what the next one's going to be? Naphtali Ayla. That what's going to come out next from the tribes is going to be Naphtali. And the portion of Ginusar will come up with him. And guess what? Tarf Bakafish Ashvat. And so it would mix around the backs of the tribes. Volabiyad and Naphtali. And out would come Naphtali. Tarf Bakafish Ashvat. And it would mix with the backs of the boundaries. Volabiyad and Tchum Ginusar. And we come out the portion of Ginusar. It says, the Braise of Achim called Shevet V'Shevet. And they did this with every single tribe. So we see, has to be with Umratumim and with a Geirah. Now, moreover, continues the Braisa, V'leki chalukah sh'olam mazeh, not the way that it's divided in this world, is chalukah sh'olam haba, is the way it's divided in the world to come. Because sh'olam mazeh, in this world, adam yesh le'stei lovin, a person can get a portion of Eretz Yisrael of a grain field, in le'sa the partis, then he doesn't have an orchard. So the partis, in le'sa the lovin, if he gets an orchard, he doesn't get a grain field. Loyal Mabab, but in the world to come, Ein l'chokalechad ve'echad, you're not going to have any single person, she'ein loy bahar, b'shvele u'be'emek, that's not going to have a portion of his own portion, that will have mountainous, regular plains, and valleys. Shnumek says, the Pasuk in Yecheskel, says, Shah Reuven, the gate of Reuven, echad, is one, meaning that it's equal, whatever this tribe had, this person had, that one had, as we find, Shah Yehuda echad, the gate of Yehuda was one, Shah Levi echad, the gate of Levi was one, everyone had the same things, because everyone had from every region, in his own portion. Moreover, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechalek len ba'atzma, in the world to come, Hashem Yisbarach himself will divide for them. So like it says in the pasuk before that, it says, Ve'ila machlokus enum Hashem, and Hashem says, that these are their divisions, says Hashem, meaning he himself will tell every single person what is his specific portion. That's the braisa. But concludes the Gemara, the second proof, Katani Mias, but one thing that we learned in this Braisa, is Shabbat Chilul and Eschalke El Shnei Masar Shvat. And the Braisa said originally, it was only divided amongst 12 tribes, yeah, the future will be 13, but here it says it was on 12 tribes, Shema Menol, the Shvatim Iflik, Shema Menol, we could infer from there, but that it was divided amongst the tribes, and then the tribes gave it amongst each other, but not that every single person got his portion, it was based on tribes, and then from that tribe they gave it to their constituents. Now the Gemara goes back to explain this Braisa. Amamar, the time of the Braisa said, "Asida Eretz Yisrael shetischalik l'shleisha atzer shvatim." In the future, Eretz Yisrael will be divided amongst 13 portions, which they're calling it 13 tribes, because originally it was 12 tribes. Then it's going to be a 13th portion. And that as the Gemara, idach this 13th portion laman, who's that going to? Because we know it's only divided amongst the 12 tribes. The pasuk says, "Necheskel." Who's this 13th portion that it's going to from Eretz Yisrael to that? So Amar Chizdi says, Lenasi, it's for the prince, meaning for Melech HaMashiach, the King Mashiach, who's going to be in the future, he gets a 13th portion in Eretz Yisrael. That's like it says the Pasuk in Yecheskel, it says, V'ha'ivir the ear, and the one who serves the city, that refers to the Nasi, who he has the yoke of the public on his shoulders, like the Pasuk says by Rechavim, the king of Yehuda, where he was told, Imayimti ever lamazef, today you're going to be a servant for this people, then you're a Melech. So that's what it says, so the one who serves the city, meaning the king, Yavduhu, they will serve him, meaning they will give him an inheritance, because Shifti Yisrael from all the tribes of Jewish people, meaning because they're all going to be losing, because now a 13th portion will be divided for the Nasi, for the Melech HaMashiach. Now, on this interpretation of Rav Chisda, Amalei Rav Papa Labaye, he says, but Eima Rungar, but say maybe that it's just like workers, Ba'alma in general, that they'll just work for him like students do to a teacher. But maybe it's not saying anything that they're going to give him any of their inheritance. How do you see that he's going to get a 13th portion in Eretz Yisrael? Like Rabbi Chananel explains, actually, the word rungar is rungar. Because run in Persian means day, and gar means a worker, meaning a schiryem, a day laborer. Maybe that's what it means that they'll serve him. Meaning that they'll just work for him. How do you know that they're going to give him a portion in Eretz Yisrael? Says Abaye back to Rapa, he can't entertain that he's not getting a 13th portion there to Yisrael, because the pasuk says later on, what's left over for the nasi, for the Melech HaMashiach, from this one and from this one, meaning it sounds like that he's going to be taking a portion from this tribe and from that tribe, he's going to get from all the tribes, like we said, a portion there to Yisrael, which will be Latrumas HaKadosh, meaning, besides the place of the Beis HaMikdash that the Melech HaMashiach gets, Ulachuz HaSeir, and a portion in the city, meaning besides from a portion in the city of Yerushalayim, where that's what the Pasuk there says at the end, Lumas Chalakim, meaning, in other words, we're explicitly talking about portions in Eretz Yisrael that the Nasi gets Mizeh Mizeh, that we see that what he is getting from them is not just work and labor, but it's actually going to be a 13th portion in Eretz Yisrael. Now, it says, like as if it would say Amamar, it's going continuing explaining the Braisa. So the Braisa said, originally when Eretz it was divided amongst monetary value. Shnemalik says, Napasik bin Rav Lamat, between those who had more and those who had less, which we know that people got their fair portions. What does it mean more and less? As the Gemara is going to explain, it would seem like some got higher value lands, some got lower value lands. The ones who got the higher value have to evaluate that difference and compensate those who got the more inferior. So on that, the Gemara asks Lamai. For what halacha are we saying that they would have to compensate monetary value one guy's portion to another guy's portion? That is, if it entertained to say, as we've been explaining up until now, that you have to evaluate what this one's portion is better and this one's portion is more inferior, so the ones who have the higher value have to go ahead and compensate the ones who got the lower value. And that has to Gemara, Atu b'shuftin yaskin, are we dealing with fools that would go ahead and be released from an inheritance with just monetary payment? It doesn't make sense that a person would leave his portion for eternity in Eretz Yisrael by getting monetary value of a difference. Rather, it would seem obvious that those in the Galil who took their portions, who have, yes, the land is more inferior over there, that they would actually take 5 son correlating to the one who got 1 son, Yehuda. If that's the case, then they are getting the same monetary value, like Rabbi Yehuda said, that it's worth that amount, a son Yehuda is 5 son in the Galil, so they're getting the same amount. So what's the need for compensation from the ones who got higher quality lands, yeah, but only got 1 son, that guy got 5 son. So Eli rather says to Gemara that the lands were divided equally. And the reason for that is because the one who took for the more inferior lands would take more lands until it equaled the value of the more higher quality lands. So for that, you're right, there's no need for compensation. But the Bein Rav L'Ma'at, the compensation is L'Kreva V'Recheika. Regarding someone that got his lottery of his place in Eretz Yisrael close to Yerushalayim, he has to go ahead and evaluate that value and compensate for the one who his portion is far away from Yerushalayim. The reason for that is because the ones who live far away have a worse lot for 2 reasons. One is because he's far from the Beis HaMikdash. And another one is because he's closer to the nations of the world and he has to be afraid of the borders of those goyim, of the nations who live far, who live closer to them now. Now, based on this new interpretation of the Gemara, says Rashbam, you have to say that Rabbi Yehuda was either saying his own halacha, and he's not disagreeing with the Tanakhama, but he was just saying that someone that has a portion in the Galil, he takes 5 saw, which correlates to the 1 saw of his friend in Yehuda. But that's just a separate halacha regarding that, because you have to get the same monetary value, which is what it is. But nothing to do with being close or far. Or, says Rashbam, you could say, since the Tanakhama said that you have to there is the division here between those who are closer and further away, and that has to be compensated monetarily, and that comes from Yehuda to support and to say that, yes, a son Yehuda is worth 5 sons in the Galil because Yehuda is closer to Yerushalayim. That's why. And the Galil is very far. So that's why you have to go ahead and evaluate, and that discrepancy will end up coming out, according to one version of the Rashbam, that 4 saw, or the way the Rashash amends it, 2 saw, which is half of that the 2/5 of that value, those who live in Yehuda have to give to those who live in the Galil, again, because they're far away, which is exactly explained the halacha of the Tanakhama. So again, this compensation in Rav Lamat is because of, depending on how far or how close you live to Yerushalayim, that has to be compensated. Now, that the Gemara says, however, Kitanoi, this halacha that our Tana of Abrais had been saying, that discrepancy of how close you live to Yerushalayim has to be compensated with Kesafim, is actually Machlokes Tanoim. Because Rebbe Elazar Aimer B'Kesafim Elu, he says, like the Tana of Abrais, that difference between how close or how far you live has to be compensated with money. Now, as Rashbam points out, their machlekes is based on logic, because you don't see that interpretation from the pasuk of Bein Rav LeMa'at. From the pasuk, all we find is that those who get more, meaning whatever that more is, which we concluded means to say closer to Yerushalayim, has to compensate those who get less, meaning that live far away. But it doesn't delineate if it has to be with money or with land. But Rabbi Eliezer, like the Tana of Abraisa, assumes that it's with money. Rabbi Shua, in Rabbi Karka, Louis says, no, actually, that those who live far away have to be compensated with land, not with money. Like Mark continues to explain to the Braisa, it said, V'l'ineschalke el begayrol, that Eretz Yisrael had to be divided based on a lottery. Shnemek says in the pasuk, ach begayrol has to be just with a lottery. Now, Tana is actually taught in the Braisa that these same words, ach begayrol, which says only with a lottery, as we explained before from the Rashbam, you can't even say Reuben and then only pick out one, it has to be lottery, because the word ach is exclusionary. On this, the Braisa says another halacha, ach begayrol, that only with a lottery, which is an exclusionary term, which is saying only these are with lottery, yetzav v'yeshua v'kalev, but that excludes Yeshua and Kalev, that they didn't have that. Now, another thing is lamai, what is that for? And that is ilay medeloy shalku klal, if you're trying to say that the Jewish people got Eretz Yisrael with a lottery. But Yeshua and Kalev did not mean they didn't take anything in Eretz Yisrael. Well, that asked the Gemara, hashta delav did hu shakol, if even what was not their portion, which is the portion of the Meraglim, as we said earlier in the Perek of Kofi Yitzchas Mabez, that even that Yeshua and Kalev took, so did hu mibayi, so would you entertain to say that they didn't take their own portion of Eretz Yisrael? Ella rather, says the Gemara, what the Brayis is saying is, shalei notlu begayrol el al pi Hashem, that they didn't take their portions based on a lottery, rather they took their portions based on what Hashem had directly commanded. Where do we find this? Yeshua dechsev Yeshua, like it says the pasuk Yeshua. It says, "Al pi Hashem nasnu lo yisir hashashal," based on the word of Hashem, they gave him the city which he requested, as Timnaserach behar Ephraim, which is Timnaserach, which is in the mountain of Ephraim. Now, once we brought this pasuk in, the Gemara asks as we continue to Medbeis, "Ksev Serach," and save Yeshua, it calls his portion Serach. "Uksev," but in Sefer Shaftim, in Sefer Shaftim, it says Cheres. So, what was it? Serach? It's the same letters, but they're different names. Is it Serach or Cheres? So Amar Balazi explains, Bitzchila, in the beginning, before this portion came to the hand of Yeshua, Perisel kecheres, the fruits of that place were like earthenware. And what does that mean? Like earthenware is dry, and it's inferior, like dried out earthenware, without any fat to it, without any juice to the fruits. Well, besides, but at the end, when they came to Yeshua, Perisel masrichen, that's the word that it changed from Cheres to Sarach, then the fruits would go ahead and deteriorate, meaning because of the fatty, high quality of the produce, if they was kept too long, then it would get ruined, meaning because when it's earthenware you could keep for that long. So it's saying that it got better when it came to the hands of Yeshua because now it got fatty, and it was his merit that caused it, that now it could actually get ruined and deteriorate because it's fatty and juicy produce. Vigadami, those say the opposite way, again, also for Amal Yusa as a schus for Yeshua. But Chila Masrichin, actually in the beginning, the fruits would get ruined because it was very fatty. And actually wouldn't last at all, which is inferior. Well, the B'Saif Kecheres, at the end, it turned into like earthenware, in other words, that it wasn't too fatty. Rather, it was in the right proportion that then it could be stored away and it could last for a long time. That was actually a benefit, and that was better, and that happened only when it came to the hands of Yeshua. So again, we find that Yeshua was not Al-Pi HaGarel, and so to Kalev Dechsev, by Kalev we find, as the Pasuk says in Sefer Shaftim, Vayitnu leKalev es Chevron, that they gave to Kalev Chevron, Kasha Dibre Moshe, like Moshe spoke, and where did Moshe speak? It says the Pasuk in Devarim, V'loy Etein es Ha'aretz Asher Darach Ba Levanav, that for him I'm going to give the land which he walked for him and his children. Now that refers to Chevron, with that he walked, as the Gemara says in Masechta Saita, that when it says V'yavei at Chevron, he came to Chevron, it refers to Kolev, which teaches us that he bowed, he prostrated himself on the Ma'aris HaMachpelah by the tzaddikim that were buried in Chevron, and he davened over there in front of Hashem that he should save him from the Atzas HaMeraglim, that he shouldn't stumble with them like the Meraglim came out with bad reports, and not Yeshua and Kolev. And the Yerush Misham Eshleishu Bnei Anak, and he chased away from there the three sons of the giant. So we see again that Kalev was explicitly given his portion of Chevron. They were not based on the girl. And actually, the Gemara asks, Chevron ir mikler havi. How could the pasuk say that Kalev got Chevron, but Chevron was a city of refuge, as the pasuk says in Sefer Yeshua? So the Levnei Aharon Akhanim Nostmis ir miklat haritzach. They got the Levim, the Kahanim, got the series of refuge for the one who killed by mistake. Es Chevron, Mes Migrashah. Chevron and the neighboring towns. So how could we say that Kalev got it if the Kahanim, the Levim got it? So Mabai explains Parvaraha. What we said that what Kalev got were the villages and the fields that were around this city, out of the perimeter of the Migrash, of the open part of Chevron. That's what Kalev got. Like it says in Sefer Yeshua, says Vesteha ir Veschatzireha, the fields of the city and their courtyards, that Nasnul Kalev ben Yefuna b'chazasa, that they gave to Kalev ben Yefuna for his inheritance. You're right, Chevron itself was given to the Levim, but the neighboring, the parts around it, the fields, that was given to Kalev. That's Ach B'Gairel. Yeshua and Kalev didn't get based on the lottery, they got based on what Hashem had said directly for them. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of this parak regarding the halachas of inheritance. Says the Mishnah, Echad HaBen ve'Echad HaBas Benachla. Both the son and the daughter have the same halacha for inheritance, which all this will be explained to Gemara, what's the Mishnah referring to? Ella, but Shaben Noitel Pishnai Benichsei Av, the son takes a double portion in the father's inheritance, which is the halacha of Bechayr, which the Gemara is going to explain, what is this Ela? What's but? How are we differentiating between the son and the daughter? Here it seems to be differentiating between what the son takes and the portion of the father, because he does not take a double portion of Bechayra in his, what he inherits from his mother. And that's because, as we had actually brought this drasha early enough, Kofiyat Alf Mabez, where it says, Loi Mishpat HaBechayra, to him, that's the masculine, is the law of the firstborn, which teaches us that the laws of Bechayra is only for a man, meaning for a father, but not for a woman, meaning not from his mother. Now, continues the Mishnah, Va'abonis Nizainis Menichsei Ha'av, the daughters get fed from the father's estate, meaning when there's what's called Nochas Mu'atim, when the father dies and leaves over very little assets, so then the halacha is that the daughters get to feed off that little what's left, and not the sons. As we learn in the Mishnah later on, Kaflamites Mabez, the Mishnah there says that if someone dies and he leaves over sons and daughters, so the Mishnah says if there's large, a lot of assets, so the sons inherit it, and the daughters get to feed off the estate. If there's nechas mu'atim, very little, the daughters still get fed, and the sons have to go ahead knocking on doors, collecting for themselves. But that's the thing, is that the daughters always get fed from the father's assets. But they do not get fed from the mother's assets, whether there's a lot or whether there's a little, if there's sons around. Because then the sons will inherit everything. But regarding the assets of the fathers, then the daughters get fed based on what's called the tnai aniksuba, a stipulation in the dowry, because the husband, when he gets married to his wife, writes, "Benanukvin dihavin lechi minayi," that the female children that you'll have from me, yohin misazdim in the chsoi, they'll get fed from my assets at tzlokhin leguvin until they get taken in marriage by men. So that's a tnai aniksuba in contrast to the maternal assets, that they don't get anything, they don't get fed from them. Now the Gemara asks, as we had mentioned, my echad ben ve'echad basal nachla. What is the Mishnah saying when it's saying both by the same thing is by a son and by a daughter regarding the laws of inheritance? What's the Mishnah coming to say? And that is elam with the yarti kiadodi. If you would entertain to say that the interpretation is saying that they inherit equally, meaning when there's a daughter and there's a son, the daughter inherits just as equally with the son. That's just saying both the daughter and the son are equal regarding the laws of inheritance. And that says the Gemara, you can't say that. Because it's not, we already learned in the Mishnah of Koftez Vava Med Aleph, that says they do not inherit equally. Because the Mishnah says explicitly, Ben Koidin Labas. When there's a son and a daughter, the son takes precedence before the daughter. And moreover, Kol Yitzi Reku shall Ben Koidin Labas. Even the descendants of that son, let's say he left over a daughter and he died, even they come before the daughter. So what does the Mishnah mean when it says, Echad Ben Vechad Abbas Ben Achla? Says the Gemara, Simen Nafsham. Mnemonic is their soul, which is the names of the Amiram, the Nun, the Fei, the Shin, the Enemem, refer to different Amiram that give interpretations to explain what is the Mishnah saying. So Amar of Nachem B'Yitzchuk, he says, Hachikama, this is what the Mishnah is saying. Echad HaBen, whether it be a son, Echad HaBas, whether it be a daughter when there is no son, they're equal in the laws of inheritance. What does that mean? Of course we know they inherit. The Torah says that. What it means that they're equal in the laws of inheritance, that Neitlim Baro Kibam Muchzik, that they take what would have been fit for their father to have, just as if it's something that he had already taken possession of, which for sure a child inherits when the father dies. Now, the reason why we know this is because Halacha was already mentioned on earlier Kaftaz Vav Med Aleph, that the grandson, whether the son's son or the granddaughter, the daughter's daughter of a person, inherits the grandfather. The reason for that is because the b'nei ban and the grandchildren are b'mokam banim, are just like children that they inherit their grandfather, as the Gemara Torah Kuftes Vamadalv, where it says, uven ain lo, if there's no son, says the Gemara, that says with a yud, which tells us ayin alav, you got to analyze to see, he's not around, but maybe he left the child over. So it just says, v'im ein leibaser, doesn't have a daughter, says ayin alav, you got to analyze. So obviously you see that the son or the daughter inherit what they would have been fit to inherit had they been alive, and that's why the grandchild is inheriting the grandfather. Where do you see a grandchild inheriting a grandfather? Is because their parent, who was ra'u to inherit their parent, which is the grandparent, so although they died first, but still the grandchild will inherit. What that concept illustrates is that they inherit from their father what the father would have been eligible to inherit, which is called ro, that ro is kibbeh muchzik. And therefore, that's what the Mishnah is teaching us, that the same thing applies to the son and to the daughter, that they're the same with the laws of inheritance, that they inherit ro like muchzik. That is the Gemara, hanami tanina, but this was already learned in the Mishnah of Kuftes Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah said clearly, the daughters of Tzlavchad, who is an individual who died in the desert, they took, his daughter took, three portions as inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. What are they? Which, that goes like that, Tana, who holds that Eretz Yisrael was divided amongst those who left Egypt. Tzlavchad was from one of those who left. They took that portion of their father. And then, and they also took their father's portion in the assets of his father, Chayfer, which is both a regular portion and the fact that he was a Bukhar, he took a double portion. Now, this is the portion that their father, Tzlavchad, was ra'u, was fit to inherit in his father's assets, Chayfer. Because although that it was fit for Tzlavchad, their father, meaning because even though he died when his father, Chayfer, was still alive, still the Mishnah teaches us over there that his daughters took the portion that was fit for him to have had he been alive. Now, the reason is because the Tana of that Mishnah does not differentiate anything. Obviously, we see that the daughter inherits even what was fit for the father to inherit if there is no son, like in the case of B'nai Tzlavchad, which there was only daughters. Now, actually, Rashbam says that the Gemara could have also brought a raya from that Mishnah Daf Koftes Vav Med Aleph, which is even earlier, that says, B'chol Yitzi Yerechi Shel Ben Koyim Labas, that all the descendants of the son come before even the daughter. From there we learn that even the Bas HaBen, even the granddaughter inherits her grandfather, which is something that's only fit for her father because her father died when her grandfather was still alive, and still she inherits her grandfather in place of taking her father. But says Rashbam, it brought the Mishnah from B'nai Tzlavchad because it was better to ask from there because that's an actual incident that actually happened. And we see that that's a clear halacha where that we see that the halacha of Rob B'muchzik is the same thing by Ben and Baz, clearly from B'nai Tzlavchad. So therefore, that can't be what our Mishnah is teaching because we already know that from an earlier Mishnah. V'ayt. Moreover, says the Gemara, asking on Rav Nachman by Yitzchak's interpretation, even if you're going to say that, you're right, the Reisha of the Mishnah is not teaching us anything. But we quoted the Reisha as a prelude to say the Halacha, the Sefer of the Mishnah, that actually wants to, yes, differentiate between the Ben and the Baz. So you're right. Maybe the Mishnah is saying, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, and we taught already in the earlier Mishnah, but we're only saying it as opening for the next part of the Mishnah, which is going to differentiate between the Baas, but that has to Gemara, but then my Ela. Then how, however, are we going to be interpreting that the Mishnah says, but how is the Seif of the Mishnah related at all to the Reish of the Mishnah? The Reish of the Mishnah didn't mention any discrepancy between the paternal assets and the maternal assets to say that they're the same, that the Seif of the Mishnah would say, oh, but they're different over here, that regarding that there's a difference between the Nichse Av and Nichse Eim, that the Ben gets Bechayra only by Nichse Av and Nichse HaBen. Because the Reish, the way of Nachman Yitzchak was interpreting, was talking about the son and the daughter, that they're the same. So the end of the Mishnah should not have then been saying, but there's a difference between the father and the mother. It should have said a difference between the son and the daughter. And the Mishnah should have said, but the son takes a double portion, but the daughter doesn't take a double portion. And the daughter gets nizainis, but not the son. If the Reish of the Mishnah is talking about son and daughter, then let the end of the Mishnah then say, Ella, but there's a difference between the son and the daughter in these indifferences. So even if you're going to say like Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that first question number one is, what's the Chiddush? The Mishnah already said it. Even if he says no Chiddush, because saying for the Sefer, but then what's Ella? How is it's not even continuing. It's too much son and daughter, then it's making a difference between father and mother. So Ella Amar Papa Rav, the Gemara gives a second interpretation, which Rashbam points out, that the second question of Ella is difficult to Rav Papa also, as the Gemara is going to ask. And truth, Rav Papa is only not coming to answer the question of Ella, like how do we understand the continuation of the Sefer, the Mishnah from the Reisha. Rather, he's coming to answer the first question, which was Hanamatinina, but we learned this already. What's our Mishnah's Chiddush? And that is coming to answer. And he's coming to say that it's coming to say a different halacha, which is not difficult from that previous Mishnah. Now, although the Gemara is ultimately going to ask Rav Papa from a different Mishnah, however, that was not entertained yet. That was already taught somewhere else, and that's for all the interpretations, which is they're coming to answer the first question, and the question is, okay, but what are you going to do with that itself is already taught, and then there's also the question of El. So Rav Papa says as follows, this is what the Mishnah is teaching. Echad ha-ben ve-echad ha-bas, whether there's a son, or whether there's a daughter, when there is no son, noitlin chelik be-becheira, they take a portion in their father's becheira portion, meaning, even though their father, who is a Bechir, died when their grandfather was still alive, but just like the grandchildren inherit their father's regular portion as a child, so too they inherit his Chelek HaBechirah, as we explained this already in Nefkaf Design on Beis by the Mishnah of Benoit Slavchad. On that, asked the Gemara, that what you're saying, that the son and the daughter are the same, that they take their father's Chelek HaBechirah? But in Namatanina, but we learned this already in that Mishnah over there too. The Mishnah there by Benoit Slavchad says that Veshahaya, that Slavchad was a Bechir. He was a firstborn. Now, says the Mishnah, even though he died when his father Chef was still alive, still Neutel, still his daughters took Shnei Chalakim, two portions. His regular portion, as all their uncles, and also his Chelik HaBechir. Now, as Rashbam points out, that if Chefer had died first, and then Slavchad died, then we would not need that Mishnah to teach us, and our Mishnah, that the son and the daughter are the same in taking their father's Chelek HaBechir, because since their grandfather died first, so then right away their father, the Bechir, inherited his Chelek HaBechir. So there's no more Ra'u over here, and therefore it's obvious that when this Bechir, this father, dies afterwards, of course his children are going to inherit it, because that's already his portion, it's his assets, and of course they inherit both. Rather, it must be that the Chiddush is telling us that they inherit his Chelek Bechir. And that is the Gemara. We already know that from the Mishnah by Benoit Slavchad. Moreover, which was obvious from the get-go, Rav Papa was not answering, is my Ella. What do we do with Ella? Because the Mishnah was not talking about in the opening regarding the mother's assets that is coming to differentiate in the Sefer and say, oh, but there is a difference between Nichse Av and Nichse Em. It's not. According to Rav Papa, he was talking about, again, the sons and the daughters regarding their being the same. So then the Sefer should say a difference in them, not regarding the mother and the father. So Allah Amar Rav Ashi, which is the Shin of Nafsham, which is the third Amayra, he gives a different interpretation. This is what our Mishnah is saying. Echad ben bein abonim, when it says echad ben, it means to whether a son amongst all the other sons. Now, as Rashbam points out, because what his halacha is coming to say, this halacha that he's about to explain is only if you pick one son out of all the sons. But you can't pick a random person out of all the sons that a person has, because you can't make an unrelated person into a yirish, into an inheritor, because that would be what's called masna mashakas b'teir. You'd be stipulating, contradicting what the Torah says, that only children inherit, and until a person gives what he has of his assets as a gift, no one else can inherit through the medium of Yerusha, as the Mishnah says later on Kaf Lamed Omer Aleph. So on that says Rav Ashi, what the Mishnah is saying is as follows. Whether it be that he picked out one out of all of his sons, or Ve'echad Bas Ben Abban, so whether he picked out one of his daughters amongst all his daughters, meaning when he has no sons, if he picks out this one child and he says, I want this one child to inherit, that's why it has to be specifically a child, I want to inherit all my assets, Dvar of Kayam, and his words are valid. And the reason for that is because since this one individual is at least partly a Yerish, it's one of the children, so that's what we learn now from the Pasuk B'yom Enchilu Esbanav, on the day that he bequeaths his assets to his children, that he could bequeath to whatever one of his children that he wants to. And that's what the Mishnah is saying, Echad ben ve'echad bas. The same halacha applies to both a son or a daughter, meaning that the father could bequeath all of his assets to one of the brothers or to one of the sisters when there is no son. That asked the Gemara, come on, so who would that halacha be going like? Like Rabbi Yechon ben Mereka. And that asked the Gemara again, Hakartani lalakaman. This is a Mishnah taught later on, Kof Lamed Omer Aleph. So why would our Mishnah need to say it if the Mishnah says it clearly over there? The Mishnah says, Rabbi Yechon ben Mereka Omer, he says, Im Amar al Misha Roli Yarsha, if he says regarding someone that's fit to inherit him, that he wants this person to inherit everything, like we said, Dvarv Kayamin, so then his words are valid. But Amisha in the role of Yerusha, if he picks someone that's not fit to inherit him, he says, I want him to inherit all my assets, in Rav Kayam, his words are not valid. So why is our Mishnah saying it if the Mishnah says Rabbi Yechim Berik over there? Now, says the Gemara V'chitem, and if you're going to say, Kasasam lon kerbi Yechim ben Berik, that yeah, because our Mishnah wants to be an anonymous Mishnah, that's unspecified, to make it into a Stam Mishnah, like Rabbi Yechim Breker, which we know many times Rabbi Danasi did that, to say that this is the Halacha, and that's why our Mishnah is saying it without Rabbi Yechim Breker, and we need another Mishnah to be Stam, to say that that's Halacha. And that is the Gemara, but you can't say that. Because Stam, v'achakach machleikasi, it's first anonymous Mishnah, and then only later on does the Mishnah teach us the machleikas between Rabbi Yechim Breker and those who dispute him. When you have first the anonymous Mishnah and then the disagreement, the halacha is not like the Stam Mishnah. So what would be the purpose of our Mishnah if that's the halacha later on and there's no purpose of even saying Stam v'achkach machlekes? Now, moreover, says the Gemara, even if you're going to say, okay, but we find many times in Shas that it first says an anonymous opinion and only later on does it bring it as a machlekes, because yes, it could be that at times that the Tana first saw fit this opinion and made it Stam, and then later on retracted and explained and said that it's not so pashut, that there is a machlokes between it, but the original Mishnah which was made Stam remains. Even if you're going to say that, and therefore that would explain why our Mishnah says the halacha in Stam, because it did assume Rabbi Yechim Berik's opinion. Then they retracted and said, no, you're right, it's really machlokes, but we're still back to the original question that was difficult according to all the interpretations. My Ella, what's the Ella? The beginning of the Mishnah is not talking about the difference or the similarities between paternal and maternal inheritance is between the father and the mother. What is it then saying, Ella? But there is a difference between them. You weren't talking about that in the Reish of the Mishnah. Rather, you were talking about Rabbi Yechim Berik halacha regarding if you could pick out one of the children regarding inheriting, where that doesn't make a difference between, that's not the same thing of paternal, maternal assets. So Ella Amar Mabra Avashi, rather the Mem, Mabra Avashi, he gives the final interpretation. He says, Hachikam, and this is what the Mishnah is saying. Echer ben the echer abas, that the same thing is regarding a son or a daughter when there is no son. Shavin benichsei ha'em, and he's explained that it is talking about that there, it's the same thing regarding the maternal inheritance, that they each get an equal portion. Ubenichsei ha'av, and regarding the paternal inheritance, meaning what the Mishnah is coming to say, that there is no difference between the inheritance from the mother or the inheritance from the father, whether regarding the son's inheriting and whether it being regarding daughter's inheriting. Except, that's what the Mishnah is coming to say, except for two things. That there is a difference between the maternal inheritance and the paternal inheritance. And that is, as the Mishnah explains, the difference is between the laws of the firstborn, of the Bechaira, and regarding the daughters getting to feed off the inheritance. That's what the Mishnah says. Ella, now we explain Ella, but the two differences that there are is Shaben Neitel Pishnai Benichsei Av, that the son, the firstborn, only takes a double portion in the father's that he inherits from the father, Ve'ena Neitel Pishnai Benichsei Em, but he does not take a double portion in the inheritance that he gets from the mother. The reason that is because regarding inheritance of the son, what the Mishnah is saying is, between the son and the daughter, there is going to be one difference for each, which are a total of two differences between the father's inheritance and the mother's. Meaning, regarding the son's inheritance, is a difference between the maternal and paternal inheritance regarding the laws of Bechaira. Now, however, regarding the daughter's inheritance, there actually is no difference between what they inherit from the father or the mother, because either way, the daughter never gets Bechaira, as the Sefri says, V'yoldu loy banim, that parasha Bechaira says only banim, that only sons are applied to this halacha, but banis, daughters, do not apply to this halacha. Now, another difference the Mishnah was saying, and now we understand what the Mishnah was continuing to say, shahabas nizainz, because the daughter gets fed, that's only fed from the father, but not from the mother. But that's only for the daughter, because regards to the son, he's always the same regarding what he gets from his father or his mother, because either way he inherits everything. And when he doesn't have what to inherit, then let's say when the father leaves over very little assets, then he doesn't get mezainis either, because that only the daughters get. So that's what the Mishnah was saying. Echra ben ve'echra bas benachla means to say that they both get the same thing from whether their father or their mother. But the difference is, says the Mishnah, two differences. One, a difference is for the sons. They only take Shaben Noitel Pishnai B'nechse Av, but doesn't take a double portion B'nechse Eim. And the other difference is regarding the daughters, that the daughters get fed B'nechse Av, but V'ein and the Zaitz B'nechse Eim, they do not get fed from the assets they get from the mother.